Sindicato Unión Portuaria, Capítulo Buenaventura. Me encuentro visitando este maravilloso país como en mira de captar experiencia y de igual manera llevarla para aplicarla en el tema positivo al tema organizacional de nuestro sindicato.
My name is John Jairo Castro Balanta, and I'm the president of the Port Workers Union of the Buenaventura chapter. And I'm here visiting this wonderful country to see what I can learn about union organizing here and what positive experiences I can take back to share with our brothers and sisters there.
Esta es una invitación que nos las hace organizaciones internacionales como Acción Permanente por la Paz, que han estado allí apoyándonos en el tema de la divulgación de la problemática social y laboral de nuestra comunidad. De igual manera, también contamos con el apoyo de UOLA y AFL-CIO, y en este viaje que hemos conocido organizaciones sindicales de mucha importancia en el tema laboral portuario.
And so I just want to mention the support that we've received from different international organizations like Witness for Peace that have been accompanying us in our processes on the ground in Colombia and helping share the social and labor problems that our communities are facing down there, as well as organizations like the Washington Office on Latin America, the AFL-CIO, and another of other labor groups here.
Nuestro sindicato es un sindicato nacional en Colombia. Cuenta con capítulos en Barranquilla, Santa Marta, Cartagena, Turbo y Buenaventura. Nuestro sindicato contamos con una población a nivel nacional de un 70% afiliados y ese porcentaje es un número significativo en el tema afrocolombiano.
So we are a national union, and we have chapters in the port cities of Cartagena, Barranquilla, Santa Marta, Turbo, and Buenaventura. Nationally, we are about 70% Afro-Colombian workers.
Como tema principal, en esta actividad que nosotros ejercemos como portuarios, entre la cadena logística portuaria, existe un tema de discriminación hacia esta comunidad afro en la cual nosotros estamos como trabajadores. Somos víctima de esta discriminación por parte del gobierno nacional, como ciudadanos. Somos víctima por parte de los empresarios, como trabajadores que nos esclavizan, no solamente en esta actividad portuaria, sino también en la que hemos detectado como el tema de los corteros de caña, el tema de los palmicultores y el tema de las mujeres trabajadoras de casa de familia.
And so one of our principal foci as the Port Workers Union is the discrimination that port workers are facing, and the discrimination especially against Afro-Colombian workers, both at the hands of the government and of private companies that essentially have us as enslaved workers. And this is something that's affecting not only the port sector, but also the sugarcane sector, the palm oil sector, and women that are hired as domestic workers in private homes.
Yo soy de la ciudad de Buenaventura, una ciudad puerto, el puerto más importante de Colombia, mueve el 60% de la economía de nuestro país, y de igual manera el 90% de la comunidad somos afro, y en el cual pues hemos sido discriminados en el tema de inversión social porque vemos una gran tecnificación en la actividad portuaria, pero no hay un desarrollo en nuestra comunidad.
So I'm a Buenaventura native, which is a port city, in fact, the largest port in Colombia, through which about 60% of Colombian import and exports pass. This is also a city that's about 90% Afro-Colombian. But despite the wealth that's passing through the port, we don't see really any sort of social investment in our communities.
Les estoy hablando de un puerto que mueve más de 11 millones de toneladas al año y de igual manera genera en su actividad 150 millones de dólares al año también. Y en esto queremos recalcar que el tema del Tratado de Libre Comercio con los distintos países, en especial con los Estados Unidos, nos ha vuelto víctima, nos ha vuelto una sociedad que hacemos parte y engrosamos la fila de la pobreza y la miseria.
And so I'm talking about a port that moves about 11 million tons of cargo a year and then earns at least $150 million a year for the national economy. And I also want to highlight the role that free trade agreements, especially with countries like the United States, have played that have actually served to victimize us further and drive us more and more into poverty.
Antes de la privatización, nosotros éramos una comunidad pacífica. Éramos una comunidad de futuro que se desarrollaba poco a poco y se reflejaba en un nivel digno de nuestras familias. Hoy en día, con la irresponsabilidad del gobierno nacional, que fue dirigido por el expresidente César Gaviria, privatiza la empresa Puertos de Colombia, dejándonos a merced de la explotación laboral.
Before the privatization of the ports, we were a very peaceful city that had a future. We had a lot of development of the local economy and dignified living conditions. And then under the government or the administration of former Colombian President Cesar Gaviria, which privatized the ports, we saw all of that change.
Esta explotación laboral empieza con el tema del abuso hacia las mujeres, donde para poder obtener un turno o que las tuvieran en cuenta en alguna actividad, muchas de ellas fueron abusadas sexualmente por sus jefes. De igual manera, la explotación con los hombres, donde la mano de obra no se dignificó, no se reconoce como es debido, y sorprende los precios que a nosotros nos pagan por nuestra actividad.
And so we started to see much higher levels of labor exploitation in the wake of this privatization. Everything from abuse of women workers, the sexual harassment and abuse that they sometimes faced at the hands of their bosses, to the extremely low wages that were sort of unbelievable when we first started to see what the companies were willing to pay us.
Well, thank you, Brother Jairo, for bringing us up to date as to what's taking place with our brothers and sisters in Colombia. Deborah, you and I had dinner with them last night. What is it that you got out of our dinner conversation about the similarities of what's taking place in Colombia and the United States?
What struck me, and not in a happy way, were although the port workers are unionized, they're still experiencing some of the same things that I see my African-American brothers and sisters deal with here in unions. We sometimes still don't get the full benefit of what our union contracts and what the fights have been about. It seems that when it comes to, you know, things to do for people of African descent, then things start getting watered down. We start getting grandfathering in clauses and on and on and on and on, and a lessening of the contracts that were there and strong.
So did you have a question for her?
Yes. If there was no union, what resources would the port workers have in your area?
Bueno, pues primero estaba comentando sobre lo que aprendieron anoche de usted y de la situación laboral en los puertos, especialmente en cuanto a los trabajadores afros y la discriminación con la que se está enfrentando, y cómo muchas veces, aunque exista un sindicato que debe como ampararlos, que realmente no han podido lograr ciertas protecciones. Pero la pregunta entonces es, si no hubiera la unión portuaria, ¿qué recursos existirían para esos trabajadores?
Hombre, si no existiera la unión portuaria, créanme de que no estaría ningún representante de los trabajadores portuarios en este espacio, ya que la política del gobierno nacional y estos empresarios es mantener esclavizado a estos compañeros portuarios y de igual manera corromper la actividad sindical.
Brothers and sisters, if the port workers union didn't exist, believe me that there would be no representation for port workers sitting here today in this space. The interest of the Colombian government and the private companies in the ports is to keep us workers enslaved. and to continue to attack unionists and union rights.
I have one quick question. When I was working, I was on staff and headed the women's department, the International Union, United Auto Workers Union Women's Department. My question to you is, 70%, you said, were Colombian workers. How many of them were women? What percentile were women? And at the same time, too, how are they treated? How are the women workers treated there?
Yo en mi tiempo con el Sindicato Internacional de los Trabajadores de la Industria Automotriz Unidas de los Estados Unidos, yo trabajé en el Departamento de Mujeres. Entonces usted ya mencionó que un 70% al nivel nacional de la Unión Portuaria son trabajadores afros. Entonces mi pregunta es, ¿cuál porcentaje de los trabajadores al nivel nacional son mujeres y cuál es el tratamiento que recibe esas compañeras?
Anteriormente, a lo recién de la privatización, era muy mínimo la participación de las mujeres en la actividad portuaria. Pero hoy en día, con la condición de desmejorar la calidad y aprovecharse de ellas como madres cabeza de hogar y aprovechar la necesidad, hay un número representativo de que me atrevo a decir que estarían participando un 40% de mujeres en la actividad portuaria.
Well, just to start, before the privatization of the ports, there was a pretty low percentage of women workers. But then we saw with the worsening labor and social conditions and sort of moved to take advantage of the vulnerability, especially that single mothers were facing, that percentage has gone up a lot. And I would go so far as to say that it's around 40% today.
¿Y el tratamiento que recibe?
El tratamiento que ella recibe... No es un tratamiento justo a la actividad que ella representa, ya que de igual manera la discriminación también la sienten ellas y no justifican los salarios con los que les pagan a ella. Y ya por ciertas denuncias que se han hecho a nivel nacional e internacional, hoy en día el acoso sexual es más disimulado por parte de estas empresas.
These women are not treated fairly for the work that they're doing. They're facing the same racial discrimination that all Afro-Colombian workers are facing, but they're also very poorly paid or not paid at a level like corresponding to the jobs that they're doing. And we've also seen through increased reports, both on the national and international level, that sexual harassment in the workplace is becoming a really increasing problem.
Once again, for those of you that have just tuned in, this is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, and we are here on KABU, and it is the station, it's the labor station that gives working people a voice on the airwaves.
John, this is Deborah, and I have another question. Why do you do this in the face of such great danger?
Bueno, yo le tengo otra pregunta. ¿Por qué hace ese trabajo usted frente a tanto riesgo personal y tanto peligro?
Porque a pesar de todo, no es como muchos creen que lo que es Colombia. Colombia no es solo coca y café. Allá en Colombia también habemos gente de bien y somos muchos. Pero a pesar de este tema de violencia, nosotros no queremos dejarle un futuro incierto a nuestros hijos. Y es por eso que arriesgamos nuestra vida para tratar de mejorar las condiciones para cuando ellos les toque cierta actividad, al menos sea dignificada.
Why I'm doing this, in spite of everything, Colombia is not what people think. You know, it's not just cocaine and coffee. There's a lot of really good people, really strong people down there. And in spite of the incredible violence, we don't want to leave an uncertain future for our children. And so that's where we're willing to risk our lives so that we might be able to leave them with more dignified lives.
Just one more question. What message would you give us as a labor union worker and activist in this country as you observe the things that we're trying to do? Seems as though it's very similar, but what message would you give us from talking with you that we can carry on and share?
Una última pregunta. Usted, como sindicalista, ¿qué mensaje quiere dejar para nosotras y también para los otros compañeros sindicalistas aquí, pues basado en lo que ha observado usted sobre el trabajo que venimos realizando aquí? ¿Qué mensaje quería que llevemos a los otros compañeros?
Bueno, como mensaje, empezando con ustedes, es de que sigan con estos programas, estos espacios que nos están brindando. De igual manera, posiblemente no estará mañana John Jairo aquí, pero estará otro hermano afro o otra persona representando las actividades laborales de Colombia. Y en lo referente al tema de las organizaciones, es que se haga el tema de unidad y de alianza, porque nosotros lo que hemos visto es que los efectos negativos que se viven en Colombia de igual manera están llegando acá a Estados Unidos.
So the message I would start with is that we can continue to have these spaces that where we can share experiences. Maybe tomorrow, I mean, I won't be here, but another brother or sister from Colombia, another Afro-Colombian might come to be able to talk about the labor situation down there. The other message that I would want to leave is the importance of unity and alliance building with other organizations, because we can see clearly that the negative effects of some of these policies in Colombia are also starting to come back home to the States.
Thank you very much. This is Deborah again, and that's an excellent segue into a statement that I would like to make. What I say all the time as an African-American and what I like about the union is that I feel that it's the only real justice that I have. It's the only real entity and organization fighting for me. And hearing my brother speak from Colombia just further reinforces that. And I would like to, you know, reach out to all folks out there. If you have a union, I'm a part of your union. It's a voice for you. It's a vehicle that you can use for justice. It can help your communities. And the folks in your communities, your family members. And it is something very much worth fighting for, because those of us that have been around 50 years plus can certainly see during our civil rights era the fights that we went through. And I believe that when things really started to move was when labor got involved. And so this is a vehicle for us that we can use and have some great success. And I thank our brother for all that he's risked life and limb, you know, to be able to be here today and tell us his story. Because, again, I don't have to worry about, you know, those things happening for me to go to a union meeting. I don't have to worry about being harmed or my family harmed or, you know, or my water shut off or my town because I'm in the union. We don't have to go through all those things any longer. And, you know, so thank you for being here and thank you for your time.
Muchas gracias por el
tiempo. I'd also like to add that I'm encouraged by you being here. I'm union strong, and I want you to be encouraged that we're fighting for the same thing, women's rights, workers' rights, family rights, all that we can live a better life. So I thank you for all the sacrifices that you make for labor, because it's an international thing. It just doesn't stop here. It goes across the waters. We're fighting for the rights of workers. And as union brothers and sisters, we encourage you to be strong. We fight with you over here. And you have our support.
Brothers and sisters, you've been listening to a conversation with our brother, John Jairo Castro. He is the president of the Port Workers Union out of Buenaventura, Colombia. And I'd also like to give a shout out for an event tomorrow night. It is at 7 p.m. It's at 4312 Southeast Stark, and it's the Multnomah Monthly meeting building, and it's on the ground floor. And if you are intrigued by what our brother has to say tonight, I would encourage you to go to that meeting. As I indicated, he is here on a tour. Once he leaves Oregon, he will head to Washington State. And so again, I am very, very pleased that he's able to meet with us today. Brother Jairo, do you have a closing remark?
Bueno, el comentario sería que nosotros de veras esperamos que contar con la solidaridad y que se siga apoyando estas organizaciones que solo nuestras voces acá, o como decimos, la voz donde no tenemos voces. Y pues que nosotros lo que queremos es ser varios, pero a la hora de la verdad queremos ser uno. O sea, un solo cuerpo, que lo que sientan los trabajadores, lo que sientan los afro en Colombia, lo sientan los hermanos aquí en los Estados Unidos. Gracias.
Well, I just want to say that, yeah, I really hope that we can count on the solidarity and the support from all of you folks, as we say in Colombia, to be our voices where we don't have a voice. And that out of from many different groups and many different coalitions, we can be one. And we might be able to, Afro-Colombian workers might be able to feel that support from our brothers and sisters here.
Again, I'd also like to give another shout out to Sister Julia Durante for making this a mission, bridging the huge divide between what's happening in Colombia and here in the United States. I think it's a lesson that we do need to hear. Oftentimes, we take things for granted. And so having our brother visit with us tonight really puts things in a huge perspective. Again, this is the coalition. I'm speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We meet every Monday. We meet on the first Tuesday of every month. We meet at the William Lucy Building. It's the Oregon AFSCME Building, and it's located on 6025 East Burnside. We start at 6 o'clock, and we'd love to have you come and join us and continue along with this conversation. Again, this is the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, and we're now signing off, and we are here on Labor Radio. We're part of their continuum, and remember, Labor Radio is the station that gives working people a voice on the airwaves. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Friends of KBOO, supporting locally produced, organically grown, homemade programming for Portland and the world. Thanks, KBOO, for 45 years of music, current affairs, and live broadcasts. The time is 6:30, and coming up next is Prison Pipeline.
Have you ever been talking about government spying when someone says, well, if you aren't doing anything wrong, why are you worried? Heidi Bogosian's new book, Spying on Democracy, is all the answer you'll need. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlund. Help me kick off KBOO's fall membership drive. Tune in to A Deeper Look Thursday, October 10th at 9:30 a.m. My guest is Heidi Bogosian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild. She'll talk about her new book, Spying on Democracy. You'll have an opportunity to become a member, get the book, and answer those doubting friends. That's A Deeper Look Thursday at 9:30 a.m. right here on KBOO.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?